We continue in our lessons on the Christian home and family. Has anybody been receiving anything that's helpful to you so far? That's good. That's good because, you know, you have to play by the rules. R-O-L-E-S and R-U-L-E-S. And, you know, most of us are rugged individualists because we are. We set our own rules. How many of you here are used to setting your own rules? Like, that's the way it is, right? It's the way it is. And unfortunately, what we have to say to ourselves is, well, the Christian family or the Christian home, would you say, as far as morality and values, it's on the incline or the decline? What do you think? How many say it's decline? There's no question. So, you know, when I said set your own rules, all the hands went up. So would you say that has any correlation between that and the decline, you think?
Yes.
It must, right? If the Christian home and family is on the way down, and a lot of us like to make our own rules, then you have to put those two together and say, well, it must be because we're making what?
Bad rules.
Bad rules. That's the way that it works. We are rugged individualists. And unfortunately, because of rugged individualism, we sometimes make our own rules. And henceforth, the Christian home and family is going where? Down. And every day, it goes more down. And I can prove that to you. Sissy and I had the honor yesterday afternoon, didn't we, Sissy, before we went to do that concert, we went to Home Depot. And there was a young boy there. How old do you think he was, Sissy?
Probably 16.
And it's not like there's not young boys everywhere, because there is. But this young boy was 16 and dressed in camouflage. Dressed in camouflage, the 16-year-old, and held up a sign that he was selling candy bars for the junior ROTC program. And we pulled up next to the 16-year-old, didn't we, Sissy? And he stood at perfect attention. We pulled up this kid, and I opened the window down. I said to him, "Are you selling candy?" He said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Didn't he? Wow. And we asked him, you know, what it was for. He told us for the ROTC program. And I said, "Oh, you're in the ROTC program?" He said, "No, sir, I'm a Marine. I'm a Marine." And that's what he said. And he came over and shook my hand. I thought my hand was going to break. I am serious. He shook my hand. I thought my hand was going to break. I said to Sissy, "Oh, my God, what a grip on this kid. What a grip on this kid." And he looked at me, you know, right in my eyes. And he said, "Thank you, sir. I appreciate it." Didn't he say that? I went down the block, and on the other side was another young person dressed in marine blue. And I see a lot of other 16-year-olds with their pants hanging off their butts, too. Because they do. Don't I? What's the difference to both 16? What's the difference? I mean, what's the difference between the 16-year-old? They're still 16. How many agree with that statement? They both have the same opportunity to be involved in the same things because they're 16. One chooses to be out there in an afternoon on a Saturday saying yes, sir, and no, sir to people. And the other one's walking around with his pants hanging down past his butt. How many know sometimes that starts in the home, too? Doesn't that start in the home? How many, we have a lot of men here about my age. Well, you're a little older. How many men in this room knew to get up when a lady wants to sit down in a bus or a streetcar? How many men know to do that? How many men still do that to this day? And you know why we do that to this day, Cliff? Because our father said, "Get your butt up. A lady wants to sit down." How many know that's the truth? Well, you know why young boys aren't doing it anymore? Because none of their fathers do it anymore. That's just the truth. What's that?
If the father lives at home.
Well, that's true. So we know for absolutely sure that the family unit, the family structure, is disintegrating. And the reason why it's disintegrating is because moms and dads are not obeying the rules. And we have rules. And we're going to discuss today, we've been discussing what the husband's role was. And we have discussed what the wife's role was. And now we're going to discuss today what the parents' roles are. What the parents' rules are. Now, I know some of you might be saying to yourselves, "That's not applicable to me." Yes, it is. It's our job to disciple and to train those coming up behind us. How many know that's the truth? Just as much as it was our jobs and our father's jobs to take, you know, the boy and say, get up, a lady wants to sit down, or hold the door for a lady, or make sure you say yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Just that was their roles, it's our roles to train our kids coming up. And so today we're going to learn, what is the parents' roles? What is the parents' role? We know what the husband's is. We know what the wife is. Now, what's the parents' roles? So we need to turn into your scriptures, and let's start. What is the parents' roles? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. We start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. And we will start with the father's role. The father's role. And then we'll move on to the mother's roles. And again, if you're saying to yourself, well, I raised my kids, they're all gone, that may be true. But how many of you still got kids raising kids? So we need to train them. We need to train them. So we go first to the father's roles, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. And today our reader will be my dear friend Karen.
Now, for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children.
A father's role is to provide for his family. And it should not be the children are laying up for them. It should be they are laying up for their children. The father's role is the provider. Now, how many of you can remember back when your parents were your parents or your grandparents were parents? How many of you know the role, R-O-L-E-S, was clearly defined generations ago? And what was the role, R-O-L-E-S, generations ago for the father? Provider. That's what he did. That's what he did. And the mother's role, R-O-L-E-S, mother's roles back then, generations ago, was to do what? Take care of the kids, keep the house in order. That was the roles. How many lived under those kind of roles when you were growing up? That was the roles. Well, how many know your grandparents had those roles too? Now, as rugged individualists, we look at those roles and we say what? Nah, this is 2013. There's different roles. There's different roles. And the way society is now, and expensive as it is to raise a family, and as expensive it is, you know, to have a house and to have a car, you know, we got to have different roles. How many know in 2013, that's kind of like the mindset, right? Then who sets the roles? Who said that? Who does? We do. Society and culture sets the roles. Has his roles ever changed? No. His roles never changed. And so you look at that and you say to yourselves, well, okay, if that's the roles, how are we supposed to do about that? Sissy and I have, you know, young parents coming up, right? And we certainly know it's very difficult to support a family. We know that it is, because it is. I'm not naive. Of course it is. But it is the father's primary responsibility to what? Support his family. That's his roles. That's his roles. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8.
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Ooh. That's some harsh stuff. That's some harsh stuff. It says, any man that does not provide for his family is worse than who? Unbeliever. And in some scriptures, in some translations, like in King James, it says heathen.
Infidel.
That's some strong stuff. That's some strong stuff. And you know why it is like that? This is the reason why it is like that. And we need to clearly grasp a hold of some biblical truths. You need to follow this. Now follow this. There are husbands that are buying flowers for their wives on their birthday, and they are not believers. Was that a true statement? True statement. And there are husbands that are taking their wives out to dinner on their anniversaries, and they are not believers. Is that a true statement?
Yeah.
Of course it is. And there are wives, you know, who are you know, treating their husbands with respect and love, and they're not believers. And there are moms and dads right now buying clothes for their kids, and they're not believers. Is that a true statement? And so what it says is, if you don't do what they do, you're worse than they are when it comes to your belief and your faith. Does that make sense to anybody? If you don't do it, and they do it, you are now one degree under them. That's a hard thing to grasp. That's a hard thing to grasp. Now, fathers, husbands, and men, I know the song oh so well, I-O. Who knows that song? You know that song? All the men sing it with me. I-O, so off to work I go. That's the way it works. That's our job. That's our job. Now, I know that when Sissy and I was coming up and bringing our kids up, we had an arrangement, you and I, right? When we were raising our kids. Do you remember what our arrangement was? Financially. There are many, I know. Financially.
You mean about giving?
No, about me going out to work and you staying home. That part. Yeah. What was it?
You worked 2 to 3 jobs and I stayed home.
It's not because she was not capable. Not because she wasn't capable. I took on that role. I would go to work and provide for my family, even if I had to work. How many jobs did I work?
Three.
So Sissy would be able to what? Take care of the kids. Did that work for us, Sissy? It worked well. Worked well. Back then. I clearly understand. Back then. You know, 30 years ago, back then. I got it. Back then. But Sissy was available to go to the kids' school functions, and she was available to go to the room parent thing and to be the PTO person, and the kids enjoyed that. I'm going to ask you a very big question. Could that be done today? What? It could. It could. What would have to happen for that to happen today?
Sacrifice.
You have to give up some stuff. You have to give. But I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, is it possible that it could be done?
Yes.
Let me see. Who says it possible it could be done? It could be done. Would it be difficult?
Yes.
Oh, no, it wouldn't.
Was it difficult back then? Yes.
Yes. It would be not so difficult because you'd have to what? Downsize. You know why it would be difficult in our minds is because we're thinking, oh my gosh, our bills are humongous. So it would be difficult. But if you start chopping away at stuff, what would happen? It would become less difficult, wouldn't it? Part of the problems in our Christian homes and families is because kids don't have either parent. Do they? Both parents are what? Working. I know, in Sissy's particular case, I absolutely know this because she runs a daycare center out of the house. I see little kids being dropped off, right? Being dropped off in the morning and not picked up until the evening. It happens. Now, I'm not downing it. What I'm simply saying is, according to God's rule, what's the guy's job? Work. Provide. Provide. We won't go into the mother's role yet. That's the husband's role. That's the husband's role. So the first part for the husband and the father is to what? Provide. Provide what? Provide what? Everything the child wants? No. How many remember when we were growing up, you had tennis shoes, you had two different kinds, high ones and low ones. And that was like a monumental choice. high ones and low ones. And then they added another choice. Black ones or white ones? How many know they had a star on them? You remember them? Now go try to buy your kids some shoes. Well, you want them for jogging, you want them for tennis, you want them for cross training, you want them for walking, you want... What? Give the kids some shoes. It's true, isn't it? It's true. And so the father's role is to provide for his family the necessities that they need. More than necessities? Well, that's a luxury. That's not a role. The role is that the father is to provide what? The necessities. What are some necessities? Shelter, food, clothing, you know, heat, utilities, water, those kind of things. Provide for those things. Yeah. Does a kid need to have the finest and the bestest and the mostest? How many of you when you grew up as kids did not have the finest and the bestest and the mostest? How many kids here when you grew up knew how to put cardboard in your shoes? Well, look around. I'm serious now. Look around. Hey, you know what? All of you who knew what it was like to have to cut cardboard and put them in the soles of your shoes, stand up. It's us. It's us. We did it. Now sit back down. And guess what? We made it, Glenn. We made it. It's okay. No, wait, we had a bike. A bike. Yes. How many of you, when you were growing up, you kids here, when you were growing up, you know, a go-kart? That was something you made. Baby buggy wheels. Who said that? How many made a go-kart when you were growing up? How many forgot to put brakes on that thing? How many of the only brakes you had was your feet, right? How many steered those things on a rope? We all had the same go-kart. It's great. We didn't go out there and buy one at Walmart for $400. Did we? No. How many know you have one bike and it made its rounds from you down to your brothers and sisters? How many had the roller skates that you bolted on the bottom of your shoe? That's the way it was. And we were okay with that. How many were okay with that? We were okay with that. Go turn the cable TV off on your kids and see what they say. Oh, yeah. I'm serious. How many of you had three channels growing up and lucky I had them? How many knew aluminum foil was to put them on the rabbit ears? You did that too? Put them on the rabbit ears. Right? And we made it. It's okay. It's okay. And so what is a father's role? Provide. Provide what? The necessities. The necessities. It's important. We're going to get back to that. The second role of the father, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And this admonition, we're going to find it twice in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. I have my young couple over there. They'll be getting married. So they're in training. You guys paying attention, right? Ephesians, there may be a test. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4.
And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. And this is the second time we find this in our scriptures this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21.
Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged.
Fathers, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. We are not to provoke them to wrath unless they become what? Discouraged. Sometimes fathers are so quick to put their kids down. And we as godly fathers are to do what? The opposite. We should what? Lift them up. Lift them up. Don't put them down. Lift them up. Sometimes earthly fathers find some wonderful names to call their kids, like stupid, unfortunately. Idiot. Things like that. The things that we call our children because we lose patience with them. How many men are on board with me with that? Well, you know, we lose patience. And you know the sad thing about earthly fathers, unfortunately, is earthly fathers can find more patience with somebody else's kids than they can their own. Ain't that sad? Let somebody else's kids come into your presence. Oh, what's the matter, honey? What's the matter? An earthly father, unfortunately, a worldly earthly father, could be having a conversation with somebody, and somebody else's kid come over and say, "Sir, sir," and you go, "Oh, what's the matter, honey? What do you need? The bathroom's over there." But let your own kid do that. Let your own kid do that. You may turn to your child and say, "How many times have I told you?" Isn't that crazy? And so we are not to provoke our children to wrath, which means purposefully tear them down, purposefully tear them apart, purposefully, we need to purposefully bring them up, lift them up, honor them. Are children going to make mistakes? How do you know that? Because you made them. How many made mistakes in this room? How many don't even know how you got her except for the grace of God? It's the way it works, right? And so we as earthly fathers are not to provoke our children. We are to encourage them, not to discourage them. Not to discourage them. Now, how many times in the past have we all been guilty of that? How many men are willing to admit that? It's just true. And so what we need to understand is that we as fathers are never, ever, ever to bring them to wrath. Ever. Let's look at Colossians 3:21 again. Let's read that again, Karen. Colossians 3:21.
Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged.
You know how you do that? By making unreasonable requests. Unreasonable requests. Do we expect our children to be perfect? No. But sometimes we as fathers, we make unreasonable requests of our children. You clean that room before you come downstairs for dinner. Really? They got that way in a month. They're going to do it in one night? Really? You will bring home A's. Oh, really? How many of you didn't bring home A's? How many took 13 years to get out of 12-year school? I'm just saying. You make absolutely sure you complete that homework. I mean, there are unreasonable requests too, aren't there? And every time we make unreasonable requests of our children, they're going to get discouraged. We absolutely need to make sure that we don't continue to find fault with them. And sometimes fathers do. How many times did I tell you to button that top shirt? Button that button. Really? Is that important? We need to make a big deal of that? Really? It's not that big a deal, is it? Not that big a deal. I told you to be home by 9 o'clock. It's 9:01. Really? Really? And so what we need to understand as fathers is that we cannot continue to beat them down lest they lose all hope. They lose all courage and despair. And they realize in their life that they can never please you. Father's roles. Not to bring your children to wrath. Turn to your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 4.
And for you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
It is our job, fathers, men, fathers and men. It is our job that not only do we not bring them to wrath, but we are also to do what? Bring them up. Bring them up in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's our job. It's our job. Ours. And so many men put that aside and give it to their wives. Our job. It clearly says that in Ephesians chapter 6. And you fathers. You think God made a mistake when he put fathers in there, like he didn't know what he was doing? No, he kind of knew. Scott, he knew, right? He says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but you bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
We are to train our children in the way of the Lord. That's our job. Train them in the way of the Lord. Now, I will admit that there are many of my men friends, those I know well and those I do not know well, would probably say to me, but I don't know the Word. I don't know the Bible like you do. That's probably true. But is that what that means? Does that mean sit your kids down and tell them the 66 of the Bible? Starting in Genesis all the way to Revelation and get it right. Is that what that means? That's not what that means. That's not what it means at all. What that means is show your children what a father is supposed to be like. Men, show your sons what it means to be a man. Not what it means to be a male. And there is a difference. How many women understand there's a difference? Any person... See, I almost said something that was not recorded. I'm glad I didn't say it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was about to... Thank you, Jesus. Any male that was created a male doesn't have to work hard at being one of them. That comes kind of natural. But he has to be a man. That takes work. Doesn't it? There's a song that goes like this. I want to be more like you, Jesus, because my little boy wants to be just like me. That's worth repeating. It's worth the tight price of admission, Scott. I want to be more like you, Jesus, because my little boy wants to be just like me. Just like me. I wonder how many of us fathers are teaching our sons how to have road rage. I'm just saying. I wonder how many of us men, us fathers, are teaching our sons how to be disrespectful to women. I'm just saying. I wonder how many of us are teaching that kind of stuff. I'm having the opportunity to teach grandsons. I hope I'm doing a fairly good job. I hope I am. I know my son-in-laws have said to me, you know, I can't live up to your standards. Haven't they said that? My daughters have said to my son-in-laws, I want you to treat me like my dad treats my mother. Didn't they say that? We men are supposed to be teachers. 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 Train men. Train boys how to come up. Train them. That's our job. Turn to your Bibles, please. Same place. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Same book. Verse 46.
And he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law.
Amen, Karen. Amen. Listen to me. You cannot teach your children if you yourself don't know it. That scripture says you put them in your heart. You write them in your heart. You make sure you understand what God's word demands. You make sure that you got a grasp of what God says. And then and only then can you what? Teach them to your children. In a song in the 60s, you don't know about the 60s, Dave. Where have all... Who knows the rest of that?
Flowers.
You're as old as I am. Way to go. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time. You guys all know that, huh? Well, I read a different version. Where have all the Christian men gone? Why is it that almost every church is 2-to-1 with women? Why is it that almost every church that you can go into, it's more women than men? How many know that's absolutely true? Why is that so? Why is that so? Where have the men gone? It's true. You know, when Sissy and I are planning on Mother's Day and Father's Day, have to, you know, give out the little gifts we give for Mother's Days and Father's Days. Sissy, do we have to buy more for women than men? Every year in 20-some years, you got to buy more for the women, less for the men. Where have they gone? Where have they gone? Well, here's the rule. Let me just stop with this. Here's the way it works. You see, Satan is not concerned about you getting in God's Word. He doesn't bother him that you guys get the Bible out and you read the Bible. That doesn't bother him. You think Karen reading that bothers him? Pfft, nah. You know what bothers him? It's not that you're in the Word. What really bothers him is that the Word, what? Gets in you. And you want to know why? Because if a man gets the Word in him, and he starts to love the Lord, and he gets a firm grasp of what it means to be a godly man, he just might teach that to who? His kids. And guess what happens to them then? They grow up and have godly kids. And then they grow up and have what? Go. Satan does not like that. And he knows the spiritual leadership belongs to who in the family? The man. It's his role. And Satan says, you know what? If I could just chop that off at the root, if I can just put an end to that, I got a chance. If I can just get rid of the spiritual leadership in the home, if I can just get rid of the spiritual leadership, if I can just knock that part off, I got it made. And that's where the men have all gone. They've given up their role of the leadership of their home. A godly father does not say to the wife, you go to church, I'll stay home and watch the kids. The godly father is up before everybody else and says, come on, get dressed, we're going. That's the difference. The decline of the church. How many of you say the church is on the decline? Churches are closing by the dozens. Is that true?
Yes.
And you want to know why? Because the head has been what? Chopped off. Gone. And so what should we do about that? Men? That's why we men, and I'm not suggesting anything wrong with what I'm about to tell you, but that's why some of us, Scott, Eric, me, Butch, Bob, Mark, Mike, we go to Men's Challenge. You know why we go to Men's Challenge? Because we need challenged. We need to go so other men can say, hey, I'm talking to you. Right? And Mike, he goes too. When other men stand up and put their finger in our faces and hold us accountable, that's a lot different than Sissy putting her finger in my face. When a guy does it to you, you stand up, you perk up, and you start to listen to him. How many men go to Men's Challenge and say that's true? Oh, it's in your face. Right, Mark? No nonsense. And I'm inviting all the other guys who want to have an opportunity to be held accountable and to be sharpened. Come down there and don't, you know, you want to get, you know, something in your face? Come down there. No nonsense. And we men need to grow and to be held accountable. How many men understand that? A woman cannot hold us accountable. A man needs to do that. As iron sharpens iron, so does another brother sharpen the countenance of his brother. That's the way it works. And the reason the church is on the decline and the family structure is on the decline is because the father, as Sissy has said, sometimes it isn't even there. But we who are there, we need to step up. And I'm going to end with that, but I'm going to tell you something. We need to step up. And godly husbands and godly fathers, you know what? We provide. That's what we do. We provide for them. The wife and the kids should not be concerned and worried where the food's coming from. A godly father should not have his kids go to bed at night worrying whether or not the electricity is going on in the morning. Do what you need to do, and whatever it takes, how many men understand that? Whatever it takes, you do it. And chances are pretty good. We've all done that. We're all of that age. You know that thing, that Mr. Mom thing? Mr. Mom, wasn't there a movie about Mr. Mom? What's the name of that?
Mr. Mom.
I remember Mr. Mom. Yeah, still got it, huh? It was called Mr. Mom.
Sharp.
Sharp as a tack. That Mr. Mom thing, that's a movie. It's a movie. And you know the reality of it is? You know why men are the providers? Because you don't have it in you to take home and take care of the kids. That's a harder job. How many men say amen to that? That's a harder job. She had a much harder job than I ever had. And so we men, we provide. We fathers, we men, we do not bring our children to wrath. We don't discourage them. We don't talk down to them. You lift them up. You don't put unnecessary demands on your kids. You give them goals that are obtainable. And what's the next thing? You train them. You bring them up in the way of the Lord. And if you don't know how to do it, you can't train them to do it. I told you before, and I'll end with this, and I really will. I think. Is you never, ever, ever, ever teach what you don't know. And don't send where you will not go. Never preach what you will not live. And never loan what's not yours to give. And you know what, man? You should write that on your hearts. And if you don't know how, really, truly, you don't know how to be a godly father, you don't know what it means to be a godly man, next Friday, 7 o'clock, Sharpsburg Family Worship Service. Come on down. You'll get trained, right? You'll get trained. Mark, right? Oh, no doubt. Butch? You'll be helped. You will be helped. You start to get the phone calls. How many here at Men's Challenge get phone calls sometimes from these guys? Call me on the phone. Hey, just checking in on you today. How you doing, bud? That's what you need. Men need held accountable. So, We have a lot more to go with the father, and next week we'll pick up with the mothers, okay? So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, that, we thank you so much for creating us who we were and who we are. Nobody in this room had a say in whether we were created males or females. There's not one of us that had a say. No, not one. We did not have to say on who we were created, but we sure got a lot to say of who we are to become. We have a choice. We can become all the world tells us that we should be. We should follow every societal reason to be who we want to be, or we can be men and women that you tell us to be. It's our choice. It clearly is our choice. We can be what everybody else tells us to be. We can even be who we want to be, or we can be who you want us to be. It's our choice. But Lord, as we will find out soon enough here in the next week, what Joshua said, you choose. You choose. You freely choose. Everybody in this room can choose. Choose to worship any god you want to. You can worship the gods on TV, worship the gods in the movie theaters. You can worship any god you want to. You can do it. Or, as Joshua said for me in my house, we'll worship the Lord. So Lord, it's our choice, always been our choice. Help us to make good choices. And all of God's people said,